Genesis chapter 25, we'll read verses 29 through verse 34. Looking at a familiar story, when we talk of Jacob and Esau, there's a few stories that pop into mind, and this is one of them when Jacob gets Esau to sell him his birthright, and then obviously we know just a couple chapters later where Jacob goes and deceives his father to receive even the blessing of the firstborn from his father instead of Esau there. And it's kind of a familiar story, familiar stories, as I said, and it's kind of a sad story when we see these brothers are always kind of fighting against each other, so to speak. And then, but what a wonderful end of the story we see when Jacob returns to the land and Esau comes out and greets him. And what a wonderful thing that is. But we're not looking at the end of the story. We're going to look at this story here of Jacob and Esau with the birthright that Esau had from being the firstborn. And we're going to look at that this evening. So if you would follow along with me as we read here in Genesis chapter 25, starting verse number 29 down through the end of the chapter, we'll read this passage and then have a word of prayer this evening. But it says, "And Jacob sowed porridge, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said unto Jacob, Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, Sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau said, Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me? And Jacob said, Swear to me this day. And he sware unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. Then Jacob gave Esau bread and pottage and lentils, and he did eat and drink, and rose up and went his way. Thus Esau despised his birthright." And let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for this day. And Lord, the service we had this morning, I pray that you would bless us now in this service this evening. Be with me as I preach and be with the folks as they listen. I pray, Lord, that you would work in our hearts. And Lord, help us to realize the importance of the spiritual birthright that we have, Lord, and what it took to procure it. And Lord, how we need to hold on to it and not be willing to sell out to the devil and to the world. Lord, I pray that you bless now this time. Be with us as we meet together. And Lord, I pray that we would learn something that we could better serve you in the time that remains. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. The historic Jewish birthright was a symbol of both position and inheritance. We see here that the firstborn was given what was known as the birthright, and it was obviously a symbol of the position in that he was the firstborn. But the inheritance was something very interesting, because after the father died, the firstborn son would become the head of that house, or the authority in that house, and there were things that came with it, monetary things and clothing and all of these things that go together with this birthright. But we see in this story that Jacob was making this pottage, and I might have said porridge the first time when I was reading it, but I'm not sure. But we see that he was making this pottage, and Esau comes in, and it says that he's faint, and Esau comes to him and says, "Hey, feed me some of that pottage. Give me some of that stew that you're making." And Jacob, always the deceiver — we know Jacob, actually his name means deceiver — and Jacob comes up with this wonderful idea that says, "Okay, I'll give you some of this, but you must give me your birthright. Basically, you must give me the rights of you being the firstborn." We know that Jacob and Esau were twins, so it was literally a few moments or a few minutes that separated their age. So it's not like Jacob was years and years younger than his brother. He was just a few minutes younger than his brother. And so the Bible even tells us that he grabbed onto Esau's heel as he was coming out. So that's pretty incredible. I'm sure that was a sight to behold. But nonetheless, but we see here that Jacob, always the deceiver, always the trickster, always conniving, trying to get something, comes up this wonderful idea to get the birthright from his brother. Now, we as Christians have been given a birthright. You could call it a new birthright at salvation. And you say, what do you mean, Brother Sam? Well, we, just as the Jewish birthright was a symbol of position and inheritance, we as Christians have a position and inheritance that we get at the new birth, at salvation. So with that in mind, this evening I want to preach on the subject of don't sell your birthright. Don't sell your birthright. Don't do what Esau did. Don't take it and say, okay, I don't need this. What good's it going to do me anyway? Because we're going to see a couple pictures that we see in the birthright, and then we're going to see the purchase of it, and then we're going to look at why some people sell out their birthright or sell their birthright. But first we see, number one, what we see in the birthright. What we see in the birthright. We said this is a symbol of two things, of position and of inheritance. But first we're going to look at this position. First we see in this birthright, we see two things. First, who we are. We see who we are as a Christian. Esau was the firstborn, and that's what gave him this birthright. It was the position that he had, this birthright that was bestowed upon him. It said, this is his father bestowed this and said, you are my firstborn son. Now, we as Christians, we're born in Christ. We're reborn, and we have a new birth into Christ, and we have a new life in this spiritual birthright. Now, I do want to say right here that this part of our birthright cannot be sold. You cannot sell out your salvation. If you've been saved, if you've trusted in Christ for your salvation, realize that you're a sinner and that he died on the cross for you to take that sin. If you've trusted him for that, you cannot sell this portion of your birthright. And I'm thankful for that, that although we can sell out these other things that we're going to talk about here in a moment, we can't sell this part out. And truthfully, this is a part that Esau couldn't sell either. The position that he had, it doesn't matter if Esau sold this to Jacob or not, he was still the firstborn, right? And so we as Christians, that kind of applies to us as well. It doesn't matter if we say, you know what, I'm through with this Christianity. I'm not going to live for God. I'm not going to do what he's called me to do. Not to get ahead of myself, but no matter what we do on that regard, we cannot sell this part of our birthright. We see first who we are. And I think it's very important for us to realize that we are Christians. We are in Christ. We have been bought by the blood of the Lamb. Christ purchased us with his blood, and we are Christians. We see who we are in this birthright. We see also not only who we are, but we see what we have. What we have in this birthright. This regards the inheritance portion of it. Now, Esau had an authority and a responsibility being the firstborn. As the firstborn son, he had this authority. As I said, he would become the head of the home, the leader of this household at the death of his father. And it was indicated by this birthright, right? He was given this birthright that said, hey, you're the firstborn. You can't change that. But because of that, you're going to get authority. You're going to have this extra responsibility of being a provider for your mother after your father has died. And you're going to have this responsibility. But with it comes honor. With it comes respect. And so he has this, and that's indicated by the fact that he had this birthright. But there are some wonderful things that we as Christians have as well that was given to us with our spiritual birthright. Let's think of a couple of them. We have the Holy Spirit's guidance in our lives. The Holy Spirit at salvation moves into our heart and guides us as we read the Word of God. It convicts us of sin. It leads us into the knowledge of the Scriptures. He guides us and directs us as we walk down our path. And he says, hey, you need to do this. You need to stop doing this. You need to go this way. You need to shun this evil thing. And you need to live for me. The Holy Spirit's guidance. We have our Christian testimony. Something that the world doesn't have that we have is a testimony that not too many worldly people look at other worldly people and say, oh, there's something different about him. But the world should look at a Christian and say, hey, there's something different about him. And by the way, also, if the world knows you're a Christian, they're going to have you under a microscope anyway. So we have, and a lot of times we can look at that as a oh man, that's not fair, that's not right, they shouldn't do that. But the fact is that because of our spiritual birthright, because of the new birth right that we have, that's something that God has given us. We have that testimony, and we must protect it. We see we have the Holy Spirit's guidance. We have our Christian testimony. We have freedom from sin. We have the opportunity to live free from sin and away from the bonds of sin. We've been freed from that. Christ signed a emancipation proclamation, so to speak, on the cross. He says, hey, because of what I've done here, he says, it is finished, right? And there's so many things that go into that, and I'm not going to get into all of that tonight, but one of those things is we're cut off from sin. We don't have to be slaves to sin anymore. He's freed us. We have freedom from sin, and it's so terrible that we as Christians, so often we sell this portion of our birthright and say, hey, I'm going to live in sin. But we have freedom from sin. We also have a calling from God. God has a calling for each and every one of us. Whether you're in ministry, whether you're a layperson, whether you work a secular job or a ministry job, whatever it is, God has a calling on our lives. We're called to learn more about Him. We're called to spread the gospel. We're called to live a separated life. And we have that calling, but so many times we sell our birthright because of that. We sell our calling and say, you know what, I'm not going to do this. I'm not going to share the gospel. I'm not going to be in God's word. I'm going to sell off that part of my birthright, and I'm going to live the way I want. We see we have some wonderful things, this inheritance that we have because of our birthright. We see that's what we see in the birthright, but let's look at who secured our birthright. Who secured our birthright? In 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19. 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 18 and 19 says, "For as much as ye know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Notice we're not redeemed by tradition. We're not redeemed by gold. We're not given this birthright. We're not given this position and this inheritance by anything that we can bring and say, okay, I'm going to do enough good works. I'm going to live in the traditions of the church. I'm going to live in the traditions of my family. I'm going to bring some money and pay for it. No, we can't be redeemed. We can't have this birthright by that, but by the precious blood of Christ. Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 7 kind of reiterates this. It says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Once again, we have redemption how? Not by anything good, but through His blood. We have the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. God bestowed His grace upon us and said, if you'll trust in Me, I'm going to give you this position. You're going to become one of My sons. You're going to become a child of Mine, and I'm going to give you this inheritance that comes with it. You're going to have the Holy Spirit. You're going to have a home in heaven. You're going to have all of these things. And we see that it was purchased. Christ has purchased everything offered to us as a Christian through His blood, through His life, through what He sacrificed for us on the cross. And listen, when we sell part of our birthright, as I said, we can't sell the position. We're safe and secure. We're in Christ's hand and God's hands wrapped around it. No man can pluck us out of His hand, but we can sell off parts of our birthright. And when we do that, we're saying, you know what? I know You purchased all this inheritance for me as well. I'm going to keep the position. I like being the firstborn. I like being having that little bit of respect. But this inheritance part of it, I'm going to sell off this. And what we're saying is, you know, I'll trust in Your blood to save me, but I'm not really going to trust You and live for You. It's very important that we don't sell off our birthright, because when we do, we're kind of thumbing our nose, so to speak, at the one who secured this birthright for us. We see not only what we see in the birthright and who secured our birthright, but really here's the meat of the message tonight. Why some sell their birthright. Why some sell their birthright. We find this back in our text. A couple things here from Esau that I think is very important for us to realize. I don't think any of us would go around saying, you know what, I'm going to sell off my birthright. I'm going to sell off my Christian testimony. I'm going to sell my freedom from sin because I like living in sin too much. I'm going to sell all of the Holy Spirit's guidance. I'm just going to callous my heart towards the Holy Spirit. None of us would say that. But sometimes because of these things that we're going to look at, we do those things and we say, okay, because of one of these reasons, I'm gonna just kind of harden my heart to the Holy Spirit. He's been working on me on some things and I'm just getting tired of it, so I'm gonna harden my heart. Or I enjoy this sin a little too much, so I'm not gonna give it up. I know Christ gave me a way to be free from it, but I'm not gonna take that freedom. I'm gonna live in this sin. We're gonna see three reasons why some sell their birthright. We see number one, because they get tired. Some sell their birthright because they get tired. Look at verses 29 and 30 of our text, if you're still there, in Genesis 25. It says, "And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. It says, and Esau said to Jacob, feed me, I pray, with that same red pottage, for I am faint. Therefore was his name called Edom. We see that he was tired. He was tired. Galatians chapter 6 and verse number 9 tells us the same thing. It says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I believe we all believe in the principle of sowing and reaping. We sow and then we reap what we sow, right? We see that in with our sin. A lot of times we see Christians sow sin and then they wonder why they reap the consequences of sin. But the same is true in our Christian life. If we sow the seed, then we reap a harvest. And we know God gives the increase. But the fact of the matter is it's true of all those things. But what does it say? We shall reap what? If we faint not. We must stay in the field. We must stay busy. We must stay working. But a lot of times we get tired as Christians. And listen, the work of the Lord and truthfully, the work of being a Christian in general is not always easy. It's not always fun. It's not always sunshine and roses. But what does the Bible say? We will reap if we faint not. The implication there is that there's going to be times we want to faint. There's going to be times where we're going to be tired, where we're going to be worn out, where we're going to be, we're going to feel spent for the Lord. But the Bible says we will reap in due season. We'll reap if we faint not. Don't be weary in well doing. You might get tired, but don't get weary of it. Stay with it and stay true to the stuff and stay with God, because if we faint not, then we'll reap. We see that a lot of times we get tired. And let me advise the importance of being rested for the work of the Lord. And I'm not talking about, I think I mentioned in Sunday school, like, oh, the, you know, the mental health days. You know, I need to take a mental health day. That's a thing. And I'm sorry to say that's a millennial thing. But nonetheless, we say, oh, taking a mental, and I'm not talking about that. I'm not saying, oh, I need to, which I do think mental health is very important, obviously. But we talked about that during Sunday school. So nonetheless, But it is very important for us to make sure that we're rested, because the devil, if we're tired and if we're faint and we're so worn out from fighting the battles and all that then we end up like Esau. We end up saying, okay, what good is this birthright going to do me? What good is it going to do me to live free from sin? What good is it going to do me to follow the Holy Spirit's leading? What good is it going to do me to keep my calling for God? And what good is it going to do? I'm so tired. I'm so worn out. But we must take time to make sure that we're grounded in the Lord and we're staying true to Him, because He will give us the rest we need. We find Him as a resort. The Bible says they resorted unto Him. And I think it's very important for us to turn to Christ and realize that we need to make sure that we're rested to go forward for the Lord. So we see a lot of times people will sell when they get tired. And number two, or letter B, however you're taking notes there, they exaggerate the problems. Notice verse number 32. Jacob proposes, sell me this day thy birthright. And Esau replies, behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me? I don't know about you, but I hear he's been out hunting, I assume, because we see him coming in from the field. We know that he was a hunter, and he's been out hunting or gathering or doing something. And he comes in and he's faint, he's tired, he's worn out. But I highly doubt that he had been out there so long that he was about to die. I'm not saying that he wasn't, but the fact is he came to a place where his father and his mother were. I'm sure his mom would have whipped him up something. He was probably at a place where he could have went and bought something. And a lot of times we as Christians we get in trouble when we start exaggerating the problems. When we start exaggerating the things that Satan has put in our way, or maybe the Lord has allowed to come in our way to test us, and all we can look at is the problems. And if we only look at the problems, it's not hard to only see the problems. Let's say this watch is an issue in my life, just as an object lesson. If all I'm looking at is this watch and I'm trying to examine it and I'm so fixated on this issue that I have in my life, it's hard for me to see everything else that's going around. And all I'm like, man, all I can see is the problem. For instance, I'm so tired, I'm about to die. Right? And a lot of times when we do that, that's when we get to the point where it's like, we're like Esau. What good is this birthright going to do me? Right? What good is it for me to live a Christian life? What good is it for me to keep my testimony pure? What good is it for me to miss out on all the pleasure of sin for a season? What good is it for me to follow the Holy Spirit's leading? What good is it for me to do what I'm supposed to do for God? Because, hey, all I can see is the issues that I'm going through. We need to make sure that we don't exaggerate the problems. We need to make sure that when we get tired, and I believe these two things go hand in hand, when we get worn down, it's so hard for us to take our eyes off the things that are right in front of us. It's so hard for us to take our eyes off the issues and the problems that we see, but we must realize, and this is the third one, the third reason some sell their birthright is they forget what they have and who gave it to them. They forget what they have and who gave it to them. We must remember the things that we have. We must remember those things, the four things that we just mentioned. And there's so many more that come with our salvation, but we must remember that we have the Holy Spirit in us guiding us. And He wants us to rely on Him. That's why God literally gave us one of the three parts of the Trinity, right? God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And He said, okay, I'm going to take the Holy Spirit, and everyone who gets saved, I'm going to give the Holy Spirit to. There's a part of God living inside of you. And we must not callous our hearts to that. We must remember our Christian testimony. We must remember, hey, I am a Christian. That's why we must remember our position as well. I'm a Christian and I must live as such because there are people who are watching me. There are other Christians who are watching me as an example. There's a lost and dying world who is watching me because I pass out. I give them a gospel track on Saturday and then they look at my life to see if I'm living what I'm saying I'm living. I pass out gospel tracts. I pass out invitations to church. I try to witness. And they're going to watch my life and see, are they actually living a Christian life? We must remember our Christian testimony. We must remember that we have freedom from sin. We must remember that God has separated us. He's severed that cord. He's redeemed us. He's reconciled us to Him so that we no longer have to serve sin. The Bible says that He's given us the adoption of sons. We're literally become His sons, and in that we don't have to serve Satan anymore. We have the freedom of sin, and we must remember our calling from God. We must remember our call to spread the gospel. We must remember whatever our calling is in ministry, or whatever your calling is at work, or whatever the case may be. We must remember the calling we have from God. We must remember what we have, but we also must remember who gave it to us. I think that's more important even. Remember, if you forget some of the things that you have, if you can't remember those four things that I've mentioned, at least remember who gave it to you. Remember who purchased you. Remember who said, you know, I died for you on the cross and I purchased you. I shed my blood for you so that you could have this spiritual birthright. You could have this position in me and you could have this inheritance of all these things. You have the opportunity to live as a Christian. You have the opportunity to live free from sin. You have an opportunity to fall under my calling and live your life for me. You have the opportunity to live with the Holy Spirit leading and guiding you. We must remember what we have. We must remember who gave it to us. Because our spiritual birthright is so important. It's so much more important than a little bit of pleasure that we're going to get from a little bowl of stew, so to speak. From a little bit of sin that we're going to get, from a little bit of hardening our heart to the Holy Spirit, from a little bit of just living how we want and neglecting our Christian testimony, for a little bit of just, oh, I don't need to do this. I don't need to do what God has called me to do, for whatever that may be. Our birthright is much more important than that. What God has given us is so much more important than whatever that little bit of pleasure is going to be. So we see these pictures, what we see in this birthright. We see what we have. We see who we are. Let me encourage you to remember those things. Remember that you're a Christian. Remember that you're someone who is saved, someone who has been bought with the blood of Christ. And then remember the things that you have with the Holy Spirit's guiding and your testimony and you have freedom from sin and a calling from God. And remember who purchased this birthright for you. Remember, it's Christ shed blood on Calvary that gave you this birthright. It's the one that gave you this spiritual birthright. And then remember these three reasons why people sell. Because if we can remember these reasons, then we can help guard ourselves against them. When we get tired, we come in and we say, man, I am just so tired from working. I'm so tired from working the work of the Lord. I'm just so tired from physically tired. It says, be not weary in well-doing, for in due season we will reap if we faint not. Make sure that we don't exaggerate the problems. Make sure that we don't get so fixated on something that we can't see everything around it. What's the saying? Can't see the forest for the trees, right? We look and all we can see is what's right in front of us because we can't take our eyes off it. And we exaggerate. We say, I'm gonna die. I'm so tired. I'm so tired. I'm so worn out that I'm going to die. And then what good is all this going to do me? And then never forget the one who gave us what we have. Never forget what we have. Don't forget what you are. Don't forget who you are. Don't forget the things that you've been given. And don't forget who gave them to you. Let me encourage you tonight. Don't sell your birthright. You can't sell the position, and praise the Lord for that. But don't sell out all those other things. Don't sell out. Don't turn from your freedom from sin. Don't turn from the Holy Spirit. Don't sell that part of your birthright. Don't sell that inheritance. Tonight, be someone who determines you're not going to sell your birthright. Say, whatever Satan puts in front of me, no matter how tired I get, no matter how big the problem seems right in front of me, I'm not going to forget the one who purchased me. I'm not going to forget who bought the things that I have, and I'm not going to forget what he's given me. Tonight, don't sell your birthright.